Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Action Radio. This is Greg Penglis coming to you from the historic district of downtown Milton on the banks of the beautiful Blackwater River. And now let's get into Action Radio. Well, we had kind of a close call yesterday as far as the show goes because the podcast was late in coming out. In fact, it came out sometime between late last night and this morning. And so all of you who wanted to listen to yesterday's show and didn't catch it live, now you can. And so that's the good news. It really had me worried because every one of these shows is unique. They're irreplaceable. Not that they're all, you know, special, the world needs to listen kind of stuff. But, I mean, the thing is that when you do a show like this that is such – you know, new and pioneering and groundbreaking stuff that we all do here. Everybody that comes to the show brings something new and original that you can't replace this stuff. And so this is why I really want to thank Blog Talk for fixing whatever it is that went wrong yesterday and getting our show out there. For example, the big revelation yesterday the big revelation from yesterday is when we were talking about the vaccines, and I'm thinking to myself, you know what, it's kind of interesting that these things, you know, they rushed to that emergency use authorization procedure and they came out within a year, which has always had me suspicious. But it suddenly occurred to me that that COVID is going away so rapidly that if they didn't, and they knew this, they knew this ahead of time, they knew how long this was going to last, they knew how deadly it was and how deadly it wasn't, they knew the cure was hydroxychloroquine, they knew that there was never a need for a pandemic alert or emergency, they knew all this stuff. I mean, it was all designed into the system. I mean, it's so plainly obvious right now that this is how it works. But the big revelation for me was that I realized that they knew they had to get this out in an emergency use authorization. They had to declare an emergency. They had to have an emergency declaration. They had to have a pandemic because this thing is getting over so fast that if they didn't, you know, by the time they waited the 10 years for a normal FDA approval, you know, SARS-CoV-2, COVID-19, the China virus, the Chinese flu, the Wuhan flu, whatever you want to call it, doesn't matter. It would have been gone. It's pretty much gone now, and it's been gone for a long time. And so, yes, are people still catching it? Of course, because they're older folks, they're vulnerable folks, there are folks with comorbidities. But as far as, you know, normally healthy people, are they catching COVID and dying from it? Not to my knowledge. The death rate has plummeted so much because we know what the cure is. Right? Now, whether you get the cure, that's a different matter. But we know what the cure is. Anyway, so that was my revelation, is that you had to, Big Pharma had to get this out within a year because if they waited like 2 or 3 years or 5 years or 10 years, the normal approval, you know, this would long be a distant memory and they wouldn't be able to sell it. They'd have to develop a new virus, you know, to sell their latest vaccine. This is how it works, folks. The vaccine comes first, then they develop the virus to sell the vaccine. Okay, don't kid yourself. In fact, I just had that confirmed this morning by Dr. Stella Emanuel, who I was watching from a really great article. I caught that because I was looking up the YouTube, the web thing from Dr. Zelenko, who's a friend of mine, who was on One American News this morning too. And so he was talking about all kinds of things I have to talk to Gina about because I have no idea how they work. Basically, the messenger RNA genetic shot, you know, puts these proteins into your body, which create spike proteins, which create trillions and trillions of spike protein cells, which destroy your blood vessels, cause blood clots, you know, cause lung problems and do massive damage. In a lot of cases, I think are going to prove to be fatal. And so you don't want to have anything to do with this until they figure out what's going on. And even then, you know, natural immunity is 99.97% on average. So why would you need a vaccine to lower your immunity to somewhere in the 80 to 90% range with an up to a 20% reduction in immunity for a vaccine when you're already at 99%, you know, going in? Well, I'll ask you that question when we get back. Where's my life coaching? It's not working. Ah, there we go. Time to calm down, everybody. Mellow out. We're relaxing now. In these times of trial and tribulation, of epidemic and or economic crisis, of personal challenge and societal collapse, there is one place you can retreat, recharge, and re-energize to take on the world. That place is the Life Coach Report with Gene Vernick, here on Action Radio. Om. I'm meditating. Om. What better way to start your day? And now, folks, touch your crystals, breathe your aromatherapy. It's time to calm down. Actually, that's the opposite of what happens with Eugene. You get us all going like a, you're doing such a fabulous job. I love it. So good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
What do you think of my revelation?
I'm doing, very good. Yeah, we're doing great. Oh, you know, with the coronavirus itself, it's I don't even know where to begin. I was just listening to something coming in about just the administration and that Biden wears a mask when he's outside six feet apart from people. And what is he showing? If we're supposed to listen to the CDC guidelines, then basically if you got the vaccine, you shouldn't be needing to wear a mask. And, you know, it's and like they said with the whatever talk, it's not, wasn't the State of the Union, I forget what he called it last week. But anyway, with that, where Pelosi and Harris were up there with their masks on, and they say how interesting when they're in the public, they do one thing, but when they're out of the public's eye, they do something totally different. And yeah, it's like hypocritical at its finest, that's for sure.
But well, I know it's a fraud.
You don't know what to believe and who to believe, because Fauci changes his tune every time he changes underwear, even more, I'd assume, because it's like, my gosh, you never know what day, what he's going to say from day to day. Do this, do that. No, now it's something totally different. And I'm like, I don't want to make light of it, because the coronavirus is serious. I've known lots of people that have died, lots of people that are permanently have issues because of it. But, you know, the bottom line is this. It's like, we knew from the start, and I mean, on this show, you told people, you know, about every the options with what they could do if they get it. And what happened to government, and I don't want to say Trump because he was the one that pushed it. No, because it, no, I wouldn't say government.
To.
I would say that mainstream media.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I'm like, really, how sad is that for all the people that died? But it's like, I'm so glad people are taking a stand now. And that's one thing I want to talk about today is, put up, step up, or shut up. You know, it's so easy to criticize other people. It's so easy to condemn others, or not even others, but situations and stuff like that. And it's like, if you don't like something, meaning people, the people listening, what are you going to do about it? It's about not liking it, and now it's time for action. And you don't want to do anything that's, one, illegal, but what you want to do is come from a good heart and do what is going to make a difference. And go do it. And if you can't physically go do it, what can you do? Some people have the finances so they can put money towards it. Some people may want to run for an office or run for school board or something. Some people, maybe as simple as picking kids up in the neighborhood and taking them to church on Sunday and then taking them back home. You know, anything. But what do you see in your neighborhood, your neck of the woods, that you don't like, that you think could be better, and what can you do to get that to start turning around and becoming better or more positive? You know, it's to have LeBron James, and I've said this in the past, you know, Colin Kaepernick, you know, yeah, easy to take a knee. Wow. Yeah, and in the long run, I mean, Colin Kaepernick, you know, he didn't get any more NFL jobs, but the bottom line is this, easy to take a knee when you got millions of dollars. Okay, put your money where your mouth is. And, okay, LeBron James, donate some of your money to the black inner cities or black neighborhoods, or maybe put some money towards people that are black people that are waiting and not getting, having children at a young age. Teach them. Maybe wait a little bit. Hey, you know what? There's a better life out there. You can have a better life. You don't have to rely on the government. But what? He likes people to be smaller so he can look bigger. And that is really sad. And so what we need to do, each one of us, we need to start looking at life and what's going on and say, what can we do? And it may be educate yourself. Just don't listen to what someone says and take that as the gospel truth. Do your own digging. Do your own due diligence and find things out. It's so easy to go along with what someone says and agree or disagree. But why? Why do you agree or disagree? Do people even have an idea of that? Or, well, because so-and-so said, or because the government said. And since when did you start trusting the government? Yeah, it's just our country's at a pivotal point now where we do have a great country, and there may be racist people out there, but I really don't believe we are a racist country. And I know the mainstream media and certain political people, but also certain people in, the entertainment industry want us to believe that we're just this horrible country, but we are not. And there are some not so good cops, but look at how many cops do a wonderful job. And you know what? If it bothers you by how cops treat other people, why don't you go put on a uniform and go out there and spend a day in a life of a cop? And then we'll talk again. Because you know what? When you have to make life and death situation decisions, what are you going to do? It's easy to talk when you're not involved directly, when you're not that person. But it's a whole nother thing when you are in that person's shoes.
Interesting. I'm just writing stuff down here. I was thinking as you're talking about what can you do, and it's the perfect, you just defined action radio. I mean, that's what this is all about. This is about citizens, you know, writing the laws they consent to be governed by lobbying, by taking the actions. You know, what happened in the school committee here in Santa Rosa County, where I think it was all of 17 parents showed up, and the school board immediately reversed their decision and unanimously declared that masks are now optional. You know, so it can be done, and it can be done actually rather easily. You've got the folks on the left who are louder, that have the media, that have a coordinated campaign to basically destroy this country and report the opposite. I mean, so we're fighting a huge battle here, but the victories actually are a lot easier than people realize. So we just had one yesterday. So the question of what can you do, you know, that's the first question to ask. That is probably the most important question to ask. The second thing to that's just as important is to realize that you can do something. This idea that people are powerless, or that, writing letters doesn't make a difference, or, you know, and they do. But the question is, I mean, this whole show is about personal empowerment. That's what we do here. So it's very interesting. Another thing you talked about was, you know, you said don't do anything illegal. Okay. I want to question that. Because if you look at hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, vitamin D, vitamin C, sunshine, you know, all these things that are recommended as both cures and preventives and immunity boosters have all been declared illegal. Okay. I haven't gotten to this story. I've had it for maybe 2 weeks now. This COVID or Coronavirus Consumer Protection Act, which is just the opposite. It actually it protects consumers from the cure. And it makes it illegal to say that vitamin D, vitamin C, ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, zinc, you know, these things that are being used by doctors all over the world to cure coronavirus. You can't say that. What I just said was illegal. Okay. I can be arrested for that, for promoting, if I had a doctor's license, it could be removed. This is how bad things are getting. So the question becomes, what is illegal? Okay. Is it illegal because the government says so, or is it illegal because it's a wrong thing to do? Now, the right thing to do is to say that hydroxychloroquine works. And I say it works because I've talked to enough doctors who have proven that it works. So to me, that's good science, okay? As opposed to Dr. Fascist, that genocidal sociopathic drug pusher that's running the National Institute for Health Infectious Disease Bureau, who should have been arrested, 30 years ago for killing all the AIDS patients by pushing AZT instead of the drug that the New York doctors discovered that was a whole hell of a lot more effective but a lot less expensive, just like hydroxychloroquine today. This guy's been a drug pusher for decades. That's what he does, all right? He's a professional drug pusher for Big Pharma, and he's a genocidal sociopath because he doesn't care how many people he kills in order to push his drugs. Let's be blunt. That's what's going on here. So the question is, what is illegal? What he's doing is illegal. He's killed 500,000 people, and he doesn't care. You think he loses sleep at night? No. That's criminal. That's what a crime is. That's what a genocidal crime looks like. If anybody wants to know, that's what it looks like. So if you're going to tell me that what I'm saying on my radio show, what Dr. Solenko says, what Dr. Stella Emanuel says, what Dr. Gold says, what Harvey Risch in Yale, and all these other folks who are epidemiologists, and all these folks around the world, you know, are reporting, doctors in every country who are reporting success with these drugs curing COVID, if you're saying what they're doing is illegal, and it's legal for this genocidal sociopath drug pusher to try and stop all this and kill 500,000 people, and that's legal, then you got your priorities really the hell screwed up. That's what I want to say. Wow. Where'd that come from?
No, it's very true.
But it's true.
Very true. And
yeah.
I didn't even read the whole article yesterday because I really didn't want to know, because we still have to wear masks. And like what I do for a living, we have to wear masks. And they were saying how people now are getting sick from breathing in and the masks themselves, the thin masks that we're wearing. I mean, mm-hmm. are they real? What are they doing? I mean, they're good. They're good.
Nothing.
To make it look like you're trying to do something. But the air can get in and out from either side, you know, and above the, you know, by the nose, below the chin, all that. And it's like, are you kidding me? And if you don't agree, just put on a pair of goggles and see how fast it takes or how many seconds it takes before they fog up. If you're not getting air in and out of those masks, we'll talk again. But it's just crazy. And him, I don't understand how he can still have a job. But a couple weeks ago, I was the problem with me is I look at headings, and there's so much stuff going on out there. I can't even begin to read everything. But I mm-hmm. you know, reading a heading, and they wanted to make a Dr. Fauci day. I'm like, are you kidding me? What has he done besides he's another one like Biden? They padded their pockets. They got involved with the drug companies, and what he pushed at various times in his career, that helped line his pockets, and that should be illegal too, because he should not have profited by anything having to do with medications, drugs, because of what he does. And I'm sorry, that's just how I feel. But people, even with that, we need to take a stand and say, hey, enough is enough. It's like when all is said and done, when they find out, you know, all of what we should have been doing and what we mm-hmm. did do was just did nothing or poor as far as really conquering the coronavirus. And then you look at all the people that committed suicide, not only suicide, but all the people that have died because of drug overdoses and stuff that, well, they would have anyway. You know, how many people last year may have started taking drugs or gotten more involved into drugs because they felt, you know, we're starting to feel desperation, desperate about different things, or doom and gloom. You turn on the TV, what do you see? You know, some parts of the country, you go to your house and what do you see? Your neighborhood mm-hmm. being burnt because certain people don't agree with what's going on. And how sad is that?
Yeah, it's crazy what's going on. But people are resisting. People are you know, doing some great stuff. I was just a friend sent me a post, a Facebook post of what's going on with the Santa Rosa County thing. And we have an article talking about the facts that children are minimal risk for serious problems from COVID. And it goes on, I'm not going to give the actual statistics. I don't necessarily trace back to the person until I make sure they're public. But the point is, they're saying quite convincingly that a lot more kids have died of suicide and depression than have died of COVID in Florida. Okay. And
well,
so
how bad is that?
Yeah, but see, this is the part that's unnecessary. So let's talk about crime, okay? So what's the greater crime? The greater crime is that you've done a false pandemic just for the sole purpose of selling drugs, all right? I mean, that's what vaccines are. They're drugs, all right? So let's talk about that. This is why language is so critical. This is why I talk about, you know, Dr. Fascist as Dr. Fascist and not Dr. Fauci. You know, fascist implies a tyrannical dictator. Well, that's what he is. He wants to run this country from the National Institute for Health. He wants to run the economy. He wants to run the government. He wants to run medical policy. He wants to run the entire health, you know, of every hospital in the country. He wants to run the schools. He wants to run it all. Okay. I mean, if we're going to have a Dr. Fauci day, why don't we have a Dr. Mengele day? Why don't we have a Hitler day for that matter? Let's have a Pol Pot day. You know, let's have a Stalin day. I mean, to me, there's not much difference between these people, you know, because they're all doing the same thing. The genocidal sociopaths, all right, or psychopaths. You know, and I'm not sure the difference between a sociopath or a psychopath. So let's talk about that for a second. Where would you put Dr. Fascist? Is he more sociopath or psychopath? How's that for a discussion?
Oh, God. Because
that implies he's already mentally ill, which I think he is.
Yeah.
But you see how the language is? If I give you the choice, now think about that for a second. This is how language works.
I don't even know. I don't even know which side to go on with him because, I really don't. He's just, to me, he's just evil. And I know people that really respect him and love him. I don't.
Why?
I think.
Why? Why do they? Are they told to?
Well, that could be. I don't know. I never asked them because, you know, and that's something everybody to me can have their own opinion and that's that. That's fine.
Yeah.
But I think it's because they see that, he's talking because he's supposed to be the one in charge of the coronavirus. So he's the one that's going to save us. He's the one that's supposed to keep us healthy.
Of course he's in charge.
Opposite.
Of course he's in charge. And why? Why is he in charge? So he can make sure the vaccines are sold and no cure ever gets out. That's his job.
Right, but I think that but don't you think the how would you say? Because I mean, this could lead to a whole different conversation because the coronavirus itself.
That's okay.
Why do you think it came about?
Oh, I know why it came about. I mean, I don't know, but
so
I know. I mean, in other words, it can't.
Yeah.
Here's my
so
theory. Okay, go back to my March 15th, 16th, and 17th shows where I proved conclusively, I believe, that with overwhelming evidence that the virus was created specifically to market the vaccines. These vaccines started, I don't know, maybe 10, 20 years ago, people were experimenting with messenger RNA, which are basically genetic instructions without actually being genetic material, all right? So I don't know how it works exactly, but this stuff goes into your cells. And there was a report this morning on One American News with my friend Dr. Zelenko, okay? He's talking about these messenger RNA that once it's in your body, it creates these spike proteins, and it creates trillions of cells of this new kind of spike protein. This spike protein gets in your blood vessels, and this is what's clogging up and causing blood clots. This is calling, I think it's called thrombosis, which is like a major blood clot that blocks an artery or a vein and causes some part of your body to suffer major trauma. Okay, this is what's causing lung infections, you know, and lung, and I guess, you know, ultimately deaths because people are dying from the vaccine. Okay, so if this is what's going on, you know, if it's basically poisoning your body and instructing your body to create trillions of these spike protein cells, then why you can understand why this stuff's not approved. Okay, because it's lethal in many cases. And here's the other thing too, and Dr. Zelenko confirm what I heard before, that in the animal trials. And they've been giving animals messenger RNA vaccines for decades. But in the animal trials of SARS-CoV-1, as well as CoV-2, which is the coronavirus we currently know, as soon as the animals, you know, are exposed to the fresh air and the wild viruses out there, their immune system goes into overdrive. It's like, I think, lupus, something like that. There's one of those autoimmune diseases where your immune system basically kills you. I think a cytokine storm is the same thing. I've got to work on I'll get the medical technology in the correct terms because I don't want to give out false information. But the point is your immune system, you know, overreacts and goes so wild that it actually ends up injuring and killing you. And this is just from the vaccine, you know, and all of this for a virus that is 99.97% survivable in the general population. So why would you even think about having a vaccine, which is going to at best lower, you know, your immunity 10 to 20%. You know, why is that that's illogical, that's irrational. It's irrational to take a chemical into your body that is unproven, that is created in an emergency for the sole purpose of lowering your immunity. Tell me that makes any sense at all. That's irrational to me.
Yeah, you know, I get what you're saying, exactly. See, I think that was partly the case where, yeah, and that all has to stem back, I believe, to Bill Gates and all what has been going on, been planning for years. Mm-hmm. But I think to why it happened when it did, the big thing was the election last year.
Sure. Well, that's why they released it at that time. But what's Bill Gates' fundamental goal? What is Bill Gates' overall goal? What's he trying to accomplish? What's his life work now?
I think it hasn't for quite a while, just to cut down on the population.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So why would anybody in their right mind take a vaccine from somebody who's dedicated to cutting the world population in half and is funding this vaccine? That is irrational too.
Right.
So let's talk about crime.
Right, exactly.
So where's the crime? Where the real criminal, the next genocidal sociopath is Bill Gates, who is willing to fund a messenger RNA, you know, genetic modification shot designed to cause immune systems to overreact and basically kill the people after getting the vaccine. The vaccine is going to be far more deadly than COVID ever was. And here's the other thing too. We have no basis of numbers. I asked Dr. Zelenko if he could provide some website that actually documents the state of COVID right now, because nobody really knows. They're not reporting the deaths. They're not reporting the injuries, the cases, the infections. And even if they did, it didn't matter because the PCR test can have up to 100% false positives. So nobody knows who really has this disease or not. That's the weird part.
Well,
you know, unless you have the symptoms. Now, the symptoms are known. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say the interesting thing was Trump was in office. Every night they had, or not even every night, the tickers on CNN and places, they had the exact tally of the amount of people that have died because of COVID.
Mm-hmm. Until when?
Until when?
When did it stop? Let's test your memory here.
Well,
when did it stop?
When Biden got into office.
No,
but
before
they,
that.
They said since Biden got into office, there's been like 150-some thousand people, or I don't know how many people died. Well, you know what? That's a huge amount of people when you consider mm-hmm. that the vaccine was already being rolled out. And
mm-hmm.
we were well into the COVID situation for quite a while. So it's like, but nothing's being said about that. All the numbers that and the people that continue to die. But before that, it's like, oh my God, it was like every night you had, it's not even every night, every second you watched some of these major news stations or even the general news when they were on, it's like, what did you talk about? The amount of deaths.
Right. So
now it don't matter.
No, it does matter, but life coaching question. You know how we've talked about conditioning? Okay. People are conditioned to the pandemic as never ending. I think the reason they're not reporting this, and the switch was last July, was a year ago July, when they went from deaths to cases. They started reporting cases. Why? Because the deaths were basically disappearing so rapidly, it wasn't effective anymore in creating fear. So then they redid the numbers. They changed how they measure numbers. They made everything a COVID death, you know, from nothing, from the motorcycle, you know, the guy that ran a motorcycle into a tree. Well, he had COVID, tested positive, and that was probably a false positive anyway, because the PCR test is not designed to test for viruses. Okay, so they've used this. Think about all this. Let's accumulate this for a while. They've used a test that's not designed to test for viruses to report on the coronavirus. Okay, you know, they've created a vaccine that's not a vaccine. They've switched from deaths to cases, and even then they make stuff up. They've related everything to a COVID death, regardless of whether COVID caused the death or not. I mean, there's no truth here anywhere. Okay, so why would you believe the vaccine is going to be good for you when everything else is a lie? And the people that are lying are the government, who's supposed to be telling you the truth. But the truth is that the government people have no, you know, they've never, the last time Dr. Fascist saw a patient was what, 30, 40 years ago? He has no practical experience.
That should be,
he has no lab experience.
Right,
he has no current experience. He's a paper-pushing, drug-pushing psychopath. Let me say it again.
He should be out of that position just because of that. If you're in a position like that, you need to be in the front line. You need to be seeing patients, people, and yeah, it's like, so you know, wow, yeah, I'm just.
Well, he wants other people doing his dirty work.
Put people in charge that are inept, but they talk a good story.
No, they're not inept. They're doing exactly what they're supposed to do. They're being bought and paid for by Big Pharma. Those are their masters. So Big Pharma has the money. Big Pharma buys the FDA through drug trials, where 55% of the FDA budget comes from drug trials, which comes from Big Pharma. Okay, so they pay for the drug trials to get the results that they want. All right, they then pay for the Congress to get the laws that they want. Why do you think there's no product immunity? There's product liability immunity for vaccine manufacturers. Who in their right mind would make vaccine manufacturers, you know, immune from product liability? I mean, they make Christmas toy manufacturers fully liable if a kid chokes. All right, which is a good thing. I mean, they should be liable. Okay, but the thing is, there's no liability on vaccine manufacturers. Now, how could they get that in a just society, where the government protects the citizens? How could they get immunity from any kind of civil lawsuit for the injuries and deaths that the vaccines cause? Answer: they buy it. They buy that immunity because buying the immunity is cheaper than the lawsuits they're going to get. Otherwise, they wouldn't do it. They've got bean counters. So you've got basically, you know, bean counting, again, sociopaths with no concern for life and death that are actuarials that are looking at the cost of the lawsuits versus the cost of buying immunity from the lawsuits. And they've determined that the cost of buying immunity from the lawsuits, including members of Congress and various government places and the media, is cheaper than the lawsuits. Now, what does that tell you about the potential lawsuits? You know, they're going to be huge. Right.
Right. Right.
So what's the cure? The cure is Action Radio has a bill that I went into the law and I reversed everything and put full product liability onto the vaccine manufacturers. All we need to do is get that bill into Congress, you know, get it in the media. We have the solution to this. And if vaccine manufacturers are fully liable for their products, everything will change. Everything. It's just that simple.
Right, and so
the hard part is getting it done.
That is why it's important for people to get involved with things they believe in. And you know what? Like, you got the bill written, okay? So where are some people that can help expedite it? Okay,
that's the problem.
What we need. You need people to step up and say, "Hey, I know this person that knows this person that knows this person." And so you may think out there, if you're listening, "Oh, you don't know anybody, or you don't know enough, or you don't have the time." All it would take is one phone call, one text message, one something, and you can
call
make
the show.
A huge difference. Yeah,
call the show.
Exactly.
I'm here. This is why I do the show. You know, in fact, let me put this as simply as I can. I went into the law. I think it's Title 42, Section 300 AA. All right, that's a little more complicated. Into the law, and where it says vaccine manufacturers shall not be liable, you know, for their products, I changed that and said vaccine manufacturers shall be liable for their products. That's not tough to understand. All I did was turn the shall nots to shalls. You know,
right.
It's that easy to change the world, because once you change the laws, every lawsuit, every action, everything comes from those laws. This is when I realized how powerful Action Radio is going to be. When we can take a law, look at it, read it, realize that, A, you don't have to be a lawyer to do this. We're just regular folks. You know, I went in and, you know, I could take a third grader and say, if I change something from shall not to shall, do you realize that it's the opposite? Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Okay, fine. This is not brain surgery. This is not tough to understand. But it's been hidden from people. Oh, you have to be a lawyer. In fact, people have come up to me. Have you had your citizen legislation approved by lawyers? Hell no. That's the last thing I want. Why would I want lawyers who've screwed up the government, screwed up the laws, made laws so confusing and complicated that no regular person can understand them, when I can write laws that are clearly and easily understood by anybody? Why would I do that?
Right. Exactly.
I should let you talk. I've been taking too much, but yeah.
No,
that's what
we can. Very true.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so people mm-hmm. need to understand that, you know, they don't have to, it don't matter who you are. Mm-hmm. You can do something to make a difference. And
so how do we empower people?
All we can do is, one, show by example, and two, just keep encouraging them, because sooner or later, everybody is going to hopefully want to find their voice. And their voice may not actually be an actual voice. It may be in what they write. It mm-hmm. may be in, you know, what they do. It may be in someone they know. Whatever it is, they're going to be mm-hmm. able to use that voice and see how empowering it is. Because bottom line is, quit being a victim. And by, you know, just a lot of what we're doing and just saying, oh, I'm not good enough, I can't do that, or I don't know anybody, what am I going to do? That's all victim mentality. And I think we, as a people, it starts with one person, motivate one person to take a stand. That person, look at all the people that they can inspire just by other people seeing what they've done. It's like, wow, if you did that, what can I do? And that person may say, hey, you know, I'm doing this, I need help, can you help me with this? And it's just a ripple domino effect. The positiveness we can have as a country. And I'm seeing it now with so many different organizations that people are starting to speak up and they're starting to say, hey, you know, I'm not going to take this anymore. This is not right. And we need more of that. But we need to come from a good heart, to come from a spiteful heart or place. That doesn't do anybody any good. And why I say that is because then what we're going to do is not going to pan out, because it's a long run. Why? You say why? Because it's coming from negative energy. When we do something, we have to come from positive energy. Like, we're going to make, like, making a difference, being enthusiastic. It's like anticipating the positiveness or what's to come, the differences that can be made. And it may be just a little difference. It may just be a difference in your family. It's just like the people, how mm-hmm. those parents must have felt yesterday. And granted, the parents that didn't want their kids to not have to wear a mask, they may be upset. But, you know, the bottom line is this. You don't want your kid to not wear a mask? Put the mask on, send them to school. You know, that's okay. But it's like you're taking away this kid's ability to learn. These masks aren't, they're not able to socialize as much. And you can say, yes, sure they can. I can't tell you how many people tell me they have such a hard time understanding people with the masks on. And it's the mm-hmm. same thing with the kids. You know, just because they're younger doesn't mean that they may be able to understand things better. And it's not only that. You can't tell. Someone says something with a mask on, and they may say, you're a piece of crap. But they say it with a smile. They're joking. But you can't, I mean, you can't tell they're joking, because all you do is hear the words. And so it's like people, you know, so don't ever think that you're just one person. You can't make a difference. Yes, one person can start. Mm-hmm. And there's so many people that can then take your lead, follow. And I can't tell you how many people say, well, you know, I just never thought I could do it. But I did it. Yeah, they did it. And so,
well, we had parents yesterday in Santa Rosa.
You just have to try. And what's the harm if you try? Nothing.
Yeah.
You try.
Well, I got a couple of questions. First of all, at what point do you think, or where does it begin, where people get, I guess, disempowered? You know, is it school? Is it parents? Is it just growing older? Is it trying to conform to society? Is it all of the above? How do you think we get disempowered, you know, from kids that think they can do anything to adults that think that they can't do anything? It's got to be a long-term process.
Well, I think it's all the above. I think it's, when people are young, as as a child, and you see your parents, listen to your parents. How do they talk? Oh, I'm not good enough. I was never good at this. I was never good at that. So what does the kid learn? That's what they learn. Oh, I'm never good at this. I was never good at that. Or they don't get into the college they want, or they didn't get the grade they wanted. And so what do they think? Oh, I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. Or they get fired from a job. Oh, I'm just a loser. And it's like, none of those are true. It's like, it is life. In life, what do we have? We have things that I want to say positive and negative, and I don't want to consider anything negative, but you know, losing a job can be, you know, people can think, I put that in the negative category for the fact that it's a difficult thing to go through. Okay. But the thing is, it is actually a positive thing. Cause why? The universe is telling you it's time to move on, and you may not have seen the other signs. So they make something happen. Yeah, losing your job really does make something happen. It makes you take stock. What am I doing? Do I want to do that? Can I do something different? What have I always wanted to do? And go do it. And so I think when you talk about that, I think a lot of it is, too, what we're made to feel. Especially now, you turn on TV. How disempowering is everything we watch on the news? It's basically the government wants us to believe that we can't think for ourselves, that we don't know what's best for ourselves, that we can't pay our own bills, that we need a stimulus. We need the stimulus fund that our grandchildren's grandchildren's grandchildren are going to be paying back. You know, they're never going to get it all paid back. But yet we need this money. Why do we need this money now? It's like, open the things up. If you can have Florida being open, if you can have Texas being open, if you can have Florida being open, if you can have these other states being open and their coronavirus cases are not skyrocketing, then why can't other towns, cities, states open? And let people decide, hey, do you want to go out to eat? Fine. If you don't, stay home, cook at home. It don't matter. It's just like teachers. Oh, we can't go back to school because all the kids need a vaccine. That is ludicrous. If you look at the CDC guidelines, which everybody was harping about, and that's why they had to close the schools down, because CDC guidelines, well, there's nothing been in CDC guidelines that say, oh, you have to stay at home. But the interesting thing is Jill Biden last week, which as clueless as she is, said, well, you know, kids go back to school. It's up to every school district. Why? Why? It shouldn't be. If you follow the guidelines, the CDC guidelines, don't change from one state to the next. They have specific things. And, yeah, it may change as far as if they look at the amount of corona cases you have or whatever. But it's like they should have the same guidelines. If you're following this category, you do this. Why is it? Oh, it just depends on every school district. It's ironic that, okay, people can't go do their job. They have to stay home. But how many of them just stay at home and be isolated? Or how many of them have taken a vacation? How many of them have gone maybe to a movie or to the grocery store? If you can go do that stuff, then why can't you go do your job? It's like, I've been doing my job since day one of the coronavirus, and nobody said, oh, Gene, stay at home because it's the corona time. No. It's like we can't have, you know, it's like people want it both ways. But I think a lot of it is what people want us to believe. And it's interesting how we then believe it. We follow what they say and take it to heart. And it's just like, did you look at what's behind what they're saying? And not that you want to, every time someone opens their mouth, you want to say, okay, what's the reason for why they're saying that? I mean, you don't want to do that. But it's like, no, where are they coming from? And a lot of times it's for what? Could be for their own financial gain. Or it could be because of what they want. And you can say, oh, no, that's not true. That's exactly true. You talk about locking things down. If they went to lock things down last year, would the election have happened the way it was? I don't know. I don't think so. And I think as time comes you know, as time keeps going, and we find out more of the facts, which most of us know what the truth is, but the mainstream media and other people want to keep us in the dark or want us to believe that what they're telling us is the truth, and it's not. It's just even interesting, the Secretary of State in Georgia, you know, that guy shouldn't even be opening his mouth anymore as far as talking about the election, because I think he's as corrupt comes. But the thing is, it's like they had to do things, and it wasn't just a one person deal with what we've gone through. It took a collaborated effort on so many different people, organizations, and whatnot.
How about that?
But I think the big thing is you talk about knock us down. I mean, it really can. But it's like you can look at everything you go through in life, and as I keep harping about, are you a victim or a victor? And, okay, so this happened. What are you going to do about it? You're going to just roll over and say, oh, gosh, do it again to me because I didn't like it that time, so the next time you do it, I'm going to like it even less? Or are you going to say, okay, this happened. It won't happen to me again because I've learned? Or, no, this was not right, and I'm going to speak up for myself.
Just remember the great Rocky line.
Exactly.
Rocky's my philosopher, and Jussie's on the line now, so I'll get to her in just a second. But Rocky in his last film said, "Yo, it's not how hard you can hit that matters. It's how hard you can get hit and get back up again and keep going, keep moving forward. That's what it is."
Right.
It's my best Stallone, but it's true. Yeah. Jussie, you want in on this? Welcome to the show.
Yeah.
Greg, I'm going to have to leave, but you guys have a great week.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Gene. We'll see you later. There we go. All right, Jussie, back to you. Your turn.
Good morning.
Morning.
I was just wondering, since Ron DeSantis says mask, we don't have to wear a mask if we don't want to, and this is all forced to us by corporate, like CVS, Walgreens, Kentucky Fried Chicken, including Chick-fil-A. What about the school? The school is not a corporation. It's part of our government, isn't it?
Yeah, school boards are part of the government. We talked about this yesterday with Shannon Rice is on the show. Shannon is a Milton City Council member. So I asked her about that. Yeah, it's okay. We had a problem with our podcast yesterday. Blog Talk had an issue, which they fortunately fixed. So we were able to preserve yesterday's show. So you can go back and listen to Shannon and our chat. What we talked about a lot of things, as we always do. But a part of that was the fact that school boards are independent, you know, and they're independently elected. They run the schools independently. I don't see why we even have school boards.
But they're not
They're not a corporate. No. So because they're government, you know, with the new, let's get the extent. I've got a couple of articles here specifically on this. All right, let's see what we get. So this is Florida politics. This is yesterday.
Isn't it each government makes a decision for their own state, even though the president can want what he wants?
No. Let me get you. This is right from Florida Politics, which is a very liberal source. But you know, they usually have their facts right, but they interpret them strangely. So this is Jacob Ogles, Ogles, May 3rd, 2020. He wrote this. No, I think they got their year wrong. Says here, cities and counties put a variety of mandates in place, but that's over now. Okay, so the mandates were in place last year, all right? Pensacola has a mask mandate. That's no longer going to be allowed to stand if it hasn't expired already, all right? It says here, as of May 3rd, 2021, that's yesterday, Governor Ron DeSantis lifted any and all mask and face covering ordinances still in effect. So in other words, Pensacola, do they still have the mask ordinance? Or no?
Yeah, well, like I just said, you go to BJ's, they want you to put the mask. You go to CVS on Creighton, you know, they're forcing people. And they
now the companies is different. Yeah, I think companies can still do that, and companies can still do that to their employees. But as far as the government, they cannot require it. So all those mask ordinances like Pensacola's, they're gone. All right. It says very clearly here, as of May 3rd, which is yesterday, 2021, Governor Ron DeSantis lifted any and all mask and face covering ordinances still in effect. So if Pensacola has their ordinance, it's gone. Okay. And Milton never had one. Where we are over here, you know, our city council refused to have a mask mandate. And this is like 5 or 6 months ago, and it made national news, actually. We've been kind of the pioneers of the unmasking. All right. So, and this is, yeah, the article says that came months after the governor put an order in place blocking enforcement of masks. Okay. So this is the weird thing about Pensacola, is that this came months after the governor put an order in place blocking enforcement of masks. So even though you had a mask ordinance, you couldn't enforce it, which I think is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
He says businesses, mm-hmm, such as theme parks can still request face coverings be used or require masks to gain entry. But in the state of Florida, no government requires the use of masks, and a new law in place July 1st severely limits the ability of governments to take further action in future emergencies. Okay, that's technically correct, but it's propaganda. Okay, so here's what's going, mm-hmm, on. So the law that was passed, I think, yesterday and signed by the governor, when it goes into effect July 1st, the governor can overturn these emergency executive orders. Now, the way they're putting it, that it's going to stop the ability of local governments to handle an emergency. What it really should say is that it stops local governments from violating your constitutional rights, because that's what's going
on. That's right.
They're making orders, yeah, that they cannot make. They're taking over for public health people and violating the Constitution to do so. You cannot violate anybody's constitutional rights, you know, particularly due process, yeah, and search and seizure, which apply in this case. Okay. And so when all these orders came out, they said, well, it's public health, it's an emergency. So what? If you have a nuclear war, you still have constitutional rights. If you have a pandemic that's killing, yeah, millions of people, unlike this one, you still have constitutional rights. Now, can the government restrict you if you're sick? Yes. Okay. So if you have these symptoms, if you have a virus or an infectious disease or something communicable, there we go. I'm having it's a big word. Give me a chance, you know, but if you have that, yes, you can be quarantined because you have the disease, but you cannot quarantine the healthy people. You can't quarantine people for what they might catch in the future, maybe, any more than you can quarantine somebody, you know, and take their guns away because they might use them, you know, in the future in some illegal action. That's called prior restraint. Those are the red flag laws.
So you look at
gun control.
Unless you're illegal, you come in and you're infected, no problem. You go choose whatever city you want to go with your kids.
Well, see, that's a whole different case. Okay.
It's
now, Gene and I were talking about crime. So what is the crime? The crime is that the government is purposely bringing in illegal aliens, not caring if they have COVID. They're actually spreading,
yeah,
COVID.
Yes.
Okay. All over the country.
That's what they're doing.
All right. Now here, I had a thought last night, too. I thought it was rather interesting that there are no white people crossing the border illegally. Have you noticed the news? Okay. So is the Biden administration racist against white people? Do they have a problem with white people being illegal aliens? I just thought about that.
Yeah.
Don't mind me. I have my moments. Biden administration's a racist. Biden's a racist because they don't like what they don't want white people coming into the country. So they're anyway.
Yeah,
we'll go on more of this in this hour, but this is the basic thing that we in Florida, the mask mandate is gone. That's why I call the title of the show today, The Great, yeah, Florida Unmasking. Okay. The school boards are getting rid of the mask mandates. You know, the government. Yeah, go ahead.
Now your country, Canada, and maybe you know all this news, but Canada, in order for you to go to Canada, you have to have a COVID test before you get on the plane.
Mm-hmm.
Once you arrive in Canada, you have to stay right near the airports where they have a lot of hotels,
mm-hmm,
and they're making sure you get off the plane and you go to a hotel for 3 days to quarantine.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you tested negative, this is a new stupidity Canada is doing right now, because I have a friend from Canada and we had lunch on Sunday and he was telling us all this stuff.
Yep.
And he was telling all kinds of little things. So you, yeah, have to stay for 3 days in a hotel, which is very expensive, he says, and then you're allowed to get out to the cities, different cities in Canada. It is,
yeah,
ridiculous.
Well, here's
it
what's ridiculous.
The
test they do for COVID doesn't work. You know, they purposely had a COVID, the PCR test doesn't work. You know, and first of all, this is my,
yeah,
country. Canada is where I was born, but this is my country,
yeah,
just to make a little correction. Yeah, yeah. Let's bring Fianchi in the conversation, then we'll get to our South of the Border report, which we're kind of sort of engaging in anyway. Fianchi, welcome to the show.
Hi, good morning. Morning, you and Josie. You know, you're talking about discrimination to whites. Mm-hmm. That's what's going on with white farmers. They're claiming that because they're not allowed to have the same benefit that black farmers are having.
That's interesting. We should look into that. Now, Larry Klayman has been on the show. So what's so black farmers get what?
Well, it has to do with they saying that the claims weren't processed and so on and so on and so on, so they should be allowed to have funds going coming from the government going toward this, that, and the others. And
is this like reparations?
Saying that it didn't happen to whites. So it's just another one of those things.
Okay. So do interracial couples, do they get like half the benefits or what?
Pardon me?
I said, do interracial couples get half the benefits that a black farmer
would get? Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, you know, you got to think of these things when you're a talk show host. It kind of goes with the territory. All right, back to Josie. Let's do stuff at the border
quick.
And then. What's that?
And you are quick with all those answers, huh?
Who, Bianca? He's pretty good. Or me? Or well,
no,
yeah.
You.
Seriously, ADHD.
I have to think
ADHD. If not for ADHD, I bet you 90% of talk show hosts who are good in this country have ADHD. Because it's what allows you to – I got the mouse in one hand. You know, I'm thinking with – you know, I'm thinking about stuff. I'm talking. And this is all happening at the same time. And so far, I haven't really embarrassed myself. At least not too much. Anyway, Pianchi,
you're funny.
Pianchi dropped off. Pianchi, call back. You're welcome to stay. All right, go ahead.
Oh, he hung up.
Well, he'll
I
be
don't
back.
Have a lot on the border, but okay. about 100 children per day are still coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the guys that he was being interviewed, a Latino from Honduras, he says, oh, the children is our passport to get in America.
Yeah.
And that's why they're kidnapping kids from neighborhoods and they're traveling with them and the kids are disappearing all over Guatemala, Salvador, and Honduras. And they're bringing the kids to get in quicker. And the stupid Biden administration is buying this. You know,
oh,
so
you can't say Biden administration. You can't say Biden administration. The election isn't over yet. It's still being reviewed.
Well, I'm not saying president. I'm saying Biden.
I know what you're saying. I'm just teasing a little bit. Yeah. Okay.
But
this,
his stupidity, you know.
Well, here's something.
But there's still a lot of people. There's still a lot of people coming from all over the world. Let me tell you, they're coming in. Every day from the Middle East, from Jamaica, Haiti, even South America, a lot of people are coming in the border.
But no white people.
Get in because,
I don't see white people crossing
the
border.
This is the time to come in, you know, and they're keeping, I think about 1,200 military that were sent by Texas governor.
Well, he should direct people to a border checkpoint, but it doesn't matter right now. So here's what I would do. I've been talking about this for several months. The cure for this is for individual states to protect their state citizens, okay? Because states are sovereign within the federation of our country. We're not a national government; we're a federal government. People don't understand the difference. A federal government delegates certain powers federal system delegates certain powers to the federal government and reserves certain powers to the states. See, if we were a national government. The government of Washington, if it were national, would be supreme over the states and over the county. The states would be supreme over the counties, counties over the towns. Okay, we don't work that way. We separate the powers. So instead of having, like most countries, the national government is supreme over everything, and whatever the national government says, the rest of the country has to do. Okay, we don't do that here. All right, at least we shouldn't.
Yeah.
But in a federal system, the federal government has certain delegated powers. The states have everything else. You know, and the local and the counties and local communities are basically under the states, okay, whether state preemption or they have independence where they don't. Now, in the case of Florida, what the governor has done is he's created he and the legislature have created a situation where the governor can overrule basically unconstitutional orders. That's a good thing. All right. Now the folks in Washington, they cannot make a law stopping that. Okay, because you can't make a law stopping a governor from, you know, from maintaining constitutional rights. That's insane. That wouldn't go anywhere. All right.
Yeah.
They can try. Now, here's the thing, too. The CDC, and by what authority would those guidelines come anyway? First of all, the CDC guidelines are suggestions. You know, it's like saying, hey, I think you should do this. Okay, well, you can't require me to do it. Yeah, you're right, I can't. You know, that's what a guideline is. So the fact that people are taking guidelines as mandates is not the fault of the CDC. It's the fault of the governors and the county commissioners and the city councils that are interpreting, which they shouldn't do, that are interpreting CDC guidelines as law. And they're simply not. Okay. So that's the problem. So the governor comes along, Governor DeSantis, who's already started his presidential campaign as of when he had the Great Awakening and stopped all his mandates, you know, his mask mandate and his stay-at-home crap. He said, no, Florida's going to be a free and open state. Yeah, that's what's happening right now. Go ahead.
You know what? Hey, you know what CDC stands for me? Criminal, devil, communist.
Well, there you go. I call it the Center for Direct Control. It's a little bit different. Hey, Bianchi, welcome back. You didn't have to leave unless you didn't.
Thank you,
leave.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Hey, I ran across a product, a hard candy that's sold in Hungary.
Uh huh. Where are we going
and
with this?
And the brand name is button. Negro.
Really? It's
yeah.
called Negro.
So Negro, N-E-G-R-O. So you can expect Black Lives Matter and other nationalists to start marching.
Oh, my God.
And Channing and Al Sharpton is going to probably plan some boycotts and some marches in Hungary because they're going to call it systematic racism.
So wait, no. Put it. See if you can get an ad from them. Put it on the Action Radio group. Can you do that? Let's
it's
find
there.
It. It's already there. Let me take a look. Let me take a look. No, this is going to be great because I want to do a commercial. New commercial. And now, Action Radio proudly sponsors Negro, the great candy from Hungary. Oh, there it is. Okay, so well, Negro, this is great. BLM, can I read your comment on the air?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
It says BLM and other black activists, you know, scream racism over the name of popular hurricane. Oh, so they've already objected to this. Over popular Hungarian hard candy. Joe Biden and Harris will call it Jim Crow 3.1 candy. Al Sharpton may hold a press conference on a no justice, no peace march in Hungary. The fact that Hungary has created food, you know, did anybody see the irony in that? Okay. Hungary's leading brand of hard candy and throat lozenge. You know, do they have black licorice too? I mean, let's see if we can find that. It is among the country's best known consumer products. Negro. Hungarian candy coming to a store near you. Yes, that would probably. Can we get them to sponsor us? Would that be great? I cracked myself up. No, let's do it. Let's talk to them. We'll see if we can. This is actually an article too. Amazon.com. Hungarian classic Negro hard candy throat sweeper. So I have to read this. All right, hang on. I'm sorry.
You're crazy.
Oh. Oh, but look at this. This is great. 8,004. We should get one. You know.
And you know, in Spanish, Greg, in Spanish, like in Nicaragua, we have a lot of black people from Bluefields, and they speak English and Spanish too.
Yeah.
And it's normal. It's normal for us to call him Negro, N-E-G-R-O, Negro. That's the word.
Well, it means black.
In Espanol, in Spanish.
It's not a racist
exactly.
term. It's just a, you know.
And
in
people
other words,
don't
you,
have no problem. It's no racist, no nothing.
No, but
oye,
people
oye
are,
negro. And there's a lot of music that the Latinos make, negro. O Celia Cruz, el negro tiene el tumbao, you know. So it's normal for us to use that word. It's nothing.
We need more
racist,
negro music.
Yeah, negro. Yeah, yeah, I have. Yeah. There's a lot of Spanish music with the word negro.
Does anybody have a candy called white?
No.
And now Caucasian candy. Yes, the latest from the Ural Mountains in Russia. Caucasian candy, direct from the Caucasus to you.
And the other thing, Greg, the other thing is a lot of the Latinos, even if you're fat or skinny, we say, oye, mi gordo, come over here. Hey, my fat, come over here, my gordo. And they also use the negro. They say, hola, mi negra, ¿cómo está? Even if you're not dark. That's just a saying we use it, Latinos. Oye, mi negra, come here.
See, what's interesting is what's normal and what's conditioned. I'll tell you something really fascinating. There's a World War II film out of Britain. It's black and white. And you're not gonna, and it's one of these old British actors. I forgot, but he's been around for he's passed away now, but he's one of these terribly British films. And it was, I think it was either Lancaster Bombers or Mosquitoes. It might even be 633 Squadron. No, that was Color. Anyway, Pianki, do you know this film? Because they have a mascot. They have a black Labrador. Guess what his name is?
What is it?
Negro.
It's the N word. Oh, it's hysterical. You know, I guess they have this, it's a black and white film. I'll see if I can find it. But it was made during World War II or immediately afterwards. Okay. But the dog's name is the N-word. And they say, is, you know, N-word at the end of the field? You know, okay. Yep. He's there. Okay. It's going to be a good mission. Off we go. It's hysterical. I'm listening to this. I'm just dying laughing. I'm thinking, I can't believe this. This was great.
You should see the character on Mexico's postage stamp. El Negro Penguin or something like that.
Black Penguin?
El Negro.
Yeah.
El Negro. B.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But here's an interesting thing. So the word Negro in the United States, you know, is one of those words. It's like colored person. Okay. Are you white or colored? Okay. But, you know, it's like, you know, and somewhere along the way, we've talked about this before, how colored people became people of color. People of color is a good thing to say. Colored people is a bad thing to say. Okay. Well, that's confusing. You know, just imagine foreigners coming here going, what the hell's going on in this country? This is weird.
What,
you know.
What about the white person that gets sunburned and turns red? Is that color?
That's a good point. Well, white is a color. White is actually the presence of all. What's that, Josie?
That's what you call a lobster. When they turn red.
So white people don't have color until they're sunburned? That's an interesting thing.
Or you can call them rednecks.
Well, do you know
red.
Where that came from? Do you know where redneck came from? Uh-huh. It's kind of interesting, actually. Yeah. Came from farmers, you know, who would wear shirts out in the field and baseball caps, which were stupid. You don't wear baseball caps in the sun. They don't protect anything. And they would get literally red necks, you know, because their necks weren't protected.
My
it's terribly dangerous.
My father-in-law was a redneck. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
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 And my daughter just married one, too. So we got a bunch of redneck in the family.
Hey, congratulations. Let's get him on the show. I've wanted to have a redneck report. I just have to find the right person to do it. We'll see how that goes over in Bangladesh, you know, and in South Korea and New Zealand. We'll have a redneck report. How about Germany? I wonder how they feel about a redneck report or some of the other places we go in the world. We're getting a little silly today, folks, but, you know, every once in a while, I think it's a good idea. Okay, I have to play a couple of announcements real quickly here because my water is across the table. I left it on the counter.
Okay.
So I'm trying to think, what can I play now where I can run, you know, mute my mic, go like crazy, and I'm trying to think what I haven't done for a while. So I need more things to play.
So I still have a little bit more about the COVID.
Oh, no, I'm not stopping you.
Go
ahead. All right, well, why don't you do that, and then I'll go get my water. So good. Finish your report.
Oh, it's fine. I'll wait.
Okay.
Go get your water, man.
Okay. Hopefully I can do this in 55 seconds because that's how long this promo is. So I'm going to start this, mute myself, and I'll be right back. Here we go. To call any show on the Action Radio Network from anywhere in the United States, the number is 215-383-3832. To call any show from outside the United States using Skype, call 011, then 1-215-383-3832. We have many groups within Action Radio, which will become laboratories for citizen legislation and serve as a place you can go for more specialized information. From the main Facebook page, Action Radio with Greg Penglis, at facebook.com/radiolegislature, you can check out our Action Radio news group, our vaccine project, the Family Law Project, the Art Project, the Writers Page, the Video Page, our new Student Advocacy Group, and many more groups that are coming soon. Remember, at Action Radio, we don't report the news. We are the news. And now that I'm back, let me play you our Biden public service announcement.
Joe Biden's dark winter. No freedom, no liberty, no guns, no representation, no oil, no coal, no nuclear power, no space force, no constitution, no family gatherings, no vacations, just taxes, work, misery, masks, lockdowns, and ever more government. This is what will happen if you let Marxists steal the election. This has been a public service announcement of Action Radio, reminding you it's time to get off your butt and save your country.
And now, Josie, back to you. Okay.
You know, another popular thing.
What's that?
I had you on mute. I'm sorry.
Don't do that. Oh, Bianchi first.
No, I mean, I didn't want to make noise. I was doing a couple of
Okay. Yeah, I trust you guys to leave your lines live when I play things like that, but that's okay. Yeah.
Yeah, but I was listening. Yeah.
Okay, good.
It's good.
Bianchi,
I like
I do too.
Get off your butt and do something.
Exactly. Get off your butt and save your country. Yeah. Bianchi?
Yeah, you know, during Christmas time, and with kids, they still do it today. They have those assortment nuts that came in the bag. You remember them?
Mm-hmm. I think so, yeah.
Well, the Brazil nuts was called nigger toes.
Oh, I think you've mentioned that before. It's interesting, yeah. But we can't say that anymore?
Yeah.
Not. Okay.
I mean, that's what everybody called them. We called them that in our household.
That's hysterical.
It wasn't a racist term. Of course, there was no Black Lives Matter back then.
Yeah, but the original term. See, the original term, you know, means a person of low moral character. You know, someone who is cheap, and other things. It doesn't mean what it came to mean later on, which is quite interesting. And let's get back to Josie. I want to hear what's on your mind, and then we'll continue with our great Florida unmasking discussion. Yay.
One of my friends in Zumba, we were talking about the vaccine, and she thinks I'm making things up. And I said, no, I'm not. And I told her, I said, check it out. Find out if all the vaccines are approved by the FDA. She said, they are. I said, no, they're not.
Nope,
so her homework, I don't know if she's coming today or tomorrow to dance with us. We dance 4 days a week together. And so she took the vaccine, and she said, yeah, because I work with kids, and I have to take it, so I don't endanger the kids. And I'm like, give me a break. But she was telling me so many people are dying in my country, in Brazil, São Paulo. And and she said, as young as 45 years old, they're dying. I said, but they might have been sick of something. And she goes, no, they're healthy. She said, a friend of mine, 40 years old, also dying. So she's claiming all this stuff. But there's a lot of death claiming. There's a lot of death, like 400,000 in Brazil. That's what they're saying. But, you know, a lot of the fake numbers, you know, like we have here, and the people really dying from COVID is people that have heart condition, kidney problem, emphysema, lung
all
disease,
the above.
Or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
So I hope she finds a report where it says that the vaccines are approved by FDA, which she's not going to find.
She's not going to find it, no. But see, people confuse. See, this is part of the confusion. This is part of the big lie. Okay, so the big lie is that these are authorized by the FDA, but they are not approved by the FDA. Let me explain the difference.
No.
A vaccine that is under a declaration of emergency. This is why this whole pandemic was created to get a declaration of emergency from the president and from the governors. The declaration of emergency then leads to the FDA being able to allow vaccines under that declaration of emergency by giving what's called an emergency use authorization, meaning they're only allowed to be used during the emergency. If the declaration of emergency ever ends, which of course Biden's not, this is why it's so critical to get Biden in, because Trump at some point might have realized his lies, enough of us might have gotten through to him, and he might say, oh, the emergency's over, like DeSantis has said here, okay? So if the emergency's over and the state surgeon general has said there's no reason to wear masks anymore, and the governor has said, I'm not going to allow these ridiculous ordinances to go forward, we're going to stop them, we're going to unmask now, you know, and although voluntary, you know, organizations and work and things like that doesn't apply to them yet, although it should. They're actually they're changing things. But people don't understand that only reason these vaccines are on the market is because of this bogus declaration of emergency that keeps being reauthorized by first by Trump and now by the thief in chief.
Yes. Yeah. You're right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
100%.
I try to be right.
Yeah.
Goes, yeah.
But it's true. And my sister's still in the ER. She's having achy pain all over her body.
Oh,
like,
I'm sorry. This is the one who
bad.
Had the vaccine? This is the one who had the vaccine?
Yes. She just got the vaccine Friday.
Okay.
And,
now, I want everybody should watch One American News, because Dr. Zelenko, my friend and brilliant doctor, was on this morning, and he was talking about this.
Okay.
He was on the, yeah, so they're going to repeat it throughout the day. So everybody go to One American News. I'm going to see if I can get a copy of his video, and I want to post that because it was brilliant. And what he describes is these messenger RNA shots, these genetic shots that they're giving you under the name vaccine. And what it does is it gets into your body, and it starts creating these spiked proteins. And I'm not sure exactly what they do.
Yeah.
I still have to read the complicated doctor stuff that he sent me. But these spiked proteins are created by trillions and trillions of these cells in your body that are genetically different than your body. Okay, so these are alien cells in your body, which triggers a massive immune response. So your body tries to stop this stuff. But it's such a massive invasion and creating such a massive immune response that your immune system ends up actually injuring or killing you. That's what's going on.
Well,
that's why people are dying from the vaccine.
What this other doctor that I was watching, like I said before, he was saying that it kills your antibody that you were born with. That's the purpose of the vaccine. So your body.
Plus the flu
like,
shot.
No protection at all. So any disease, any sickness, or any little thing, your body will be in shock, will not recognize any sickness. And you can get, like you were saying this morning, you can get blood clots, terrible headaches, heart attacks.
Lung problems,
lung
failure.
There's no going back. There's no going back.
Yeah, once you have
the vaccine,
it's permanent.
That's it.
Yeah. Yeah, you're a changed human being. You're permanently disabled from what you were. You'll never be as genetically pure and healthy as you were before the vaccine. So the thing is, this is what I should post this. You know, I think I did this on some of the pages. I have to have friends post because I'm on my third 30-day suspension, all from the same post, because whoever's going after to try and shut me down, they're very good at it. And I had no idea that all this was possible. But they go to Facebook every like 2 or 3 weeks and show the same post and say, this is offensive, you know, back to April 6th, which is, of course, the last day that my posts were public. As of April 7th, everything went to friends only. Okay, it's going to stay there, too.
Can you reach Facebook and say how many times are you going to
do
the same thing?
It's
probably that Margaret.
What's that?
It's probably that one poster, Margaret. She tried to post to me. I blocked her. Yeah.
We're not going to mention names, but yeah, she's already blocked. Yeah, she's gone.
Yeah, I didn't mention her last name, just the first.
Yeah, good. I appreciate that, yeah. I get enough retaliation as it is, but yeah, there are some leftists who are going to find themselves not there anymore. And that's just basic security. I tried to open the pages. I tried to have an honest debate. They don't want an honest debate. They want to shut me down, you know, secretly. They want to cancel.
They're evil.
Me, okay?
They're just evil.
Well,
these people are just pure evil.
Well, it's
and
worse
you know,
than that
Fred,
too.
What the governor from Texas and probably Ron DeSantis are going to do, they're going to make it a law. They're going to be signing it pretty soon where we can sue any of the platform media. We can sue them. And the governor
is
about to sign that.
Yeah, and that's going to be good, but my lawsuit's better. My lawsuit's a hell of a lot stronger because it actually creates ideology as a civil right. And so it calls the Internet – a public accommodation. Okay, and if you know anything about the civil rights struggle, you know a lot of it was based on the Commerce Clause and the idea that Black Americans couldn't travel because they were segregated from hotels, from restaurants, from gas stations, you know, and everything else.
From
and
everything.
But those places are public accommodation. In other words, you can't travel from here to there if you can't buy gas, stay at hotels, you know, eat in restaurants. It blocks your right to travel. Okay, and that violates your ability to engage in interstate commerce. Okay, well, the same way now, the state highways of the 50s and 60s have been replaced by the internet highways. Okay, and those internet highways are every bit the highway for commerce that the state highways were, the interstate highways were back in the 50s and 60s during segregation. Okay, so my argument is that public accommodation requires the internet to remain open, that social media remain open, because social media you know, is every bit the town square, the phone system. And the phone system was open. When AT&T ran the phones, they didn't care what you said. You can say anything you want, as long as you rented the equipment.
Yeah.
Same thing here. You should be able to say anything you want, you know, and if you do something illegal, it's not for social media to block you. It's for the police to go after you. If you post, you know, and my bill's very simple. It says that the social media folks, the people that provide social media and provide search engines can't touch anything that you do, even if it's illegal, because it's not up to them to be the police. Okay? It's not up to them to be law enforcement. They're providing a service. In other words, if you say something over the phone lines, it wasn't up to AT&T to arrest you or to block you or to cut off your phone service. Okay? Because it's public accommodation. Phone lines are public accommodation. They can't tell you what to say. In the same way, social media and search engines are public accommodation. They cannot touch what you say. And if you engage in criminal activity, like you're saying, hey, I got a video here. I'm doing a drug deal right now. You know, they can't take that down. Mm-hmm. But law enforcement can. Okay? So law enforcement, after the case, can say, okay, yeah, this is coming down. But even the horrible things have to be preserved. Now, you don't have to look at them. That's your choice, okay? You don't have to watch the drug deal. Or, you know, you certainly don't want to watch the child pornography or things like that are obviously criminal. But those people need to be alerted to law enforcement. I don't want social media deciding what's legal and what isn't. See, that's the problem. That's why it has to be public accommodation. And, you know, law enforcement, due process, the courts have to remove posts, however disgusting they are, not the social media providers. That's the difference. Anyway.
And what I was going to say is the same people right now creating all this racial division and all that, those are the same people, Democrats, that they were against all the black Americans way back, treating them like garbage. And they want to look like little angels, like, oh, all white people are bad. They're white themselves. Joe Biden is white. Who they elected? A white guy, supposedly, according to them.
No, he's
a
person of non-color.
So,
Joe Biden has no color.
So he
wears a black mask.
Do
you notice that? He's always wearing a black mask. Do you think he's trying to, be the second black president?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm just teasing.
Yeah. But anyway. These are the same evil people that the murder. Go ahead. Go ahead, Yankee.
It was the 1875 Civil Rights Act that guaranteed accommodations, which would fall under what you just got through mentioning about the utilization of Facebook.
Oh, that's interesting.
Wow.
See, I'm not familiar with the 1875 Civil Rights Act. Can you give me a quick primer on it?
Yeah, it was the Civil Rights Act of 1875.
Mm-hmm.
It was called the Enforcement Act, and guaranteed all citizens, including blacks, equal access to public accommodations and transportation.
Interesting. So that would be horses, wagons, and inns, public houses, things like that?
And trains.
1875, yeah, trains. Okay, that makes sense. Oh, okay. So, yeah, I guess I'm thinking back a little too far. So 1875 technology.
Transcontinental railroads, stage coaches. You know, matter of fact, blacks had stagecoach companies back in the early 16th and 17th century.
You know, it's amazing how many blacks work for the train companies. You know, I know there were the Pullman strikes and you see the porters and the room folks and the kitchen workers and the chefs and things like that. That'd be something interesting to learn about.
And they own stagecoach companies.
Okay.
You know, we live in a racist America, but they own stagecoach companies back in the early part of the 17th century.
Well, what did racism look like back in the 1800s? You know, I mean, obviously the South was still in slavery until 1865. All right, and then we had Reconstruction. But 1875, that's only 10 years later. And there were trains running. I mean, the trains. When did the trains start? 1830s, 1840s? I'm not sure. I have to look at my train history. But a number of...
Well, I think that was even going on during the time of the Civil War. And shortly thereafter, that was a marvelous, you know, to think about the things that was going on simultaneously in the United States in those early years is just astonishing.
Well, I think the gold rush was 1849 in California. That's what they call the 49ers. And I think the trains were started with Chinese labor on the West Coast and probably Irish labor on the East Coast. and they eventually met. The golden spike that joined the railroads. I'm not sure when that was, but it wouldn't have been that long. So 49, probably maybe in the 1850s. So trains were still fairly new in the 1860s when the Civil War was going on, but the country was already connected. Well, it's connected. The trains were going on before that. But the connection, the transcontinental connection through the mountains, you know, the Donner Pass, you know, where the Donner family died, was, I know 1849 was gold. Yeah, probably when the 1850s was when the country was connected by rail completely. 1850s was the Civil War. 1875, people, I guess, were traveling by train a whole bunch. Now, were the cars segregated back in the 1800s too? I mean, has this always been this way, or did segregation come later?
You know, you had a Supreme Court ruling, Plessy versus Ferguson, they said it's
right.
Separate, but equal was
right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, you did have discrimination here, there, in different places.
Okay. I wonder, what I'm trying to do is get a picture of what segregation looked like back in the 1800s compared to the 1900s, for example. So why would public accommodation be a big thing? I know people didn't travel as much in the 1800s. But trains were definitely open. And how many Black Americans had you know, money, funds to travel in the general population? You know, I mean, I'm just curious how the progression from, you know, Civil War slavery to economic prosperity went. You know, did people earn, if they were earning, buying stagecoach companies and, you know, different manufacturing companies and things like that, there must have been, you know, a pretty rapid growth of wealth to allow for things like travel, whether it's business or for fun.
There's a publication, the lady name is Juliet, I can't think of her last name,
uh-huh.
who wrote a book about Black entrepreneurship from, I believe, 1600s through 1865,
yeah.
or something like that. And it lists quite a few businesses and other opportunities that Blacks was engaged in. Restaurants, you had George Washington dined at a famous Black restaurant.
Huh. Okay.
And you know, there were wealthy Black men families, and they owned slaves way back also. So,
well, Blacks have always owned slaves.
Like,
it's one of those little interesting contradictions. And Black soldiers fought on behalf of the South.
Like Kamala Harris' family, they own about 200 slaves in Jamaica. Her family, because they had a little bit of money.
So not only is she an illegal alien, she's a slave owner.
She was. Yeah.
Oh, And this is that's why they had to steal the election, otherwise she'd never make it. All right, let's back to this. I got this article from Florida Politics. We started a little bit earlier. Jesse, did you have anything else that you wanted to cover as far as border stuff or
no,
South American and Central countries? Okay.
I'm gonna continue listening. If you want me to jump in, just let me know.
Just call your name, wait 5 seconds for you to unmute, and there you'll be.
Well, I'm listening, but at least you don't hear the noise. I'm going to be putting my face in a minute, my makeup.
Okay.
But
we should actually listen to that sometime. That would be kind of interesting. We get a description. I'm sorry.
No,
I had a really weird mood this morning. Yeah, okay, I'll let you go. All right.
And I got a piece of tape on my camera phone so they don't see me because, you know, I'm on my birthday suit sometimes. So, you know, I have to put the tape so they don't watch me because they're watching us. With
they are.
Our TV in your room, with phone, they're watching us.
You know, I took a business card and folded it in the middle, and I have it over the camera lens of my my phone. My computer.
Oh, yes.
So looking at the back end of a business card rather than watching me do the show. So, I mean, that's always there. Yeah. Okay. Well, go enjoy putting your makeup on. We'll find out, you know, the foundation and the blush and all the details later.
You're funny.
And now, Josie's makeup tour. Well, let me play something before I completely lose it here.
Ever going to make me a theme, or do I have to make it myself?
You may have to at this rate. I've been busy. I got a new band. I got things going on. I'll make you a theme.
I'll find you a song, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Well, actually, I can only use uncopyrighted music. I have to do that. Let me play something here, and I'll actually get serious for a bit.
No, this is instrumental. This is instrumental from Nicaragua.
It can still be copyrighted.
Marimba.
Well, as long as it's not copyrighted and I can use it, then I'll be happy to do it, because we are, after all, a commercial radio show. We are a for-profit operation here. This is not a charity. This is not a nonprofit. We're in this to do good and have a little money in the process to have some fun. All right, let me play this and I'll be right back.
Action Radio, part of the ADHD Radio Network, the ultimate free speech zone. We the people give our consent to be governed through writing the laws by which we are governed and have the power through juries to nullify the laws by which we do not consent to be governed. At Action Radio, we don't report the news. We are the news. Every other show reports what has happened. We talk about what can happen. From the questions no one has thought to ask, to the answers no one has thought to consider, to the actions no one has dared to take. That is Action Radio.
Yes, we're covering it all today, from Josie's makeup to a Hungarian candy called Negro. You get it all on Action Radio. That's what we do here. All right. So let me go to one of my favorite sites to criticize, although the information is pretty good right now, Florida Politics. And we started this article in the first hour, but I want to kind of finish it up. It's not very long, and it sort of puts this into place. And it says very clearly, and this is from yesterday, May 3rd, it says cities and counties put a variety of mandates in place, but that's over now, referring to, you know, what mask requirements are in place in Florida. And that's the title of the article, which says Beyond the Veil, : what mask requirements are in place in Florida? And the answer is there aren't any. And that's the good news. So we now have the great Florida unmasking. And so hopefully the corporations will start following suit, and everybody else will do this, and we'll get rid of these things because, A, they don't work, and, B, they look stupid. And let me throw in a C. Most communication is nonverbal. And so if you take away people's faces, which this is all about, taking away your face, taking away your identity, taking away your personality, taking away the clarity of your speech, taking away your ability to breathe properly, separating you from everybody else. This is not social distance. This masks are social isolation. Okay, that's all for a purpose, because the government wants you alone, disempowered, scared, and dependent. That's the policy of government. That's what they do. Alone, you know, actually dependent, as independent, in other words, independent from other people. They don't want you being social. All right, so they don't want people getting together. They don't want people to think. They don't want you to have control. They don't want you to certainly don't tell them what to do. So the article says cities and counties put a variety of mandates in place, but that's over now. As of May 3rd, 2021, yesterday, Governor Ron DeSantis lifted any and all mask and face covering ordinances still in effect. That came months after the governor put an order in place blocking enforcement of masks. Okay. So first of all, he said you couldn't enforce it. Now the ban's gone. Businesses such as theme parks can still request face coverings be used or require masks to gain entry. But in the state of Florida, no government requires the use of masks. And a new law in place July 1st, so we got a couple months to wait for that, severely limits the ability of government to take further action in future emergencies. Let me state that in proper English. Severely limits the ability of governments to violate your constitutional rights. The potential still exists for legal challenges to the law or the governor's action. And again, I would put that on a constitutional basis. Okay, here's where the propaganda kicks in, so it's kind of funny. In the past, Chief Insurrectionist Joe Biden hinted at a national mandate for masks when he took office on January 20th. Well, when he usurped the office, but ultimately just encouraged the use of masks as a patriotic duty. Think about that for a second. How can any moron, unless you're a government control freak, think of wearing a mask as a patriotic duty? You know, did John Kennedy say, you know, ask not what you can do for your country, ask when you can wear your mask? No. He said, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. He didn't say, ask not what your country can do for you, wear a mask. Of course not. You know, so this whole idea is ludicrous, that this is a patriotic duty. It's a patriotic duty to conform, to subvert your personality, to subvert who you are, to risk further injury and health risks because that stupid thing in front of your face is nothing but a warm, moist petri dish where you just breathe in all the things that you're creating with your breath and the environment mixes up because you've got a medium, the mask, You've got your breath, the moisture. You've got all the germs, viruses, bacteria, and everything, moss, fungus, everything else is in the air that's growing there on your petri dish in front of your face. And this is somehow a good thing. This is a patriotic duty to ingest all that organic crap into your system. That's insane. Article goes on. A significant number of Florida jurisdictions at various points since March 1st, 2020, when the coronavirus first surfaced in the state, required masks in public and at designated businesses. Okay. Again, stupid. A, the pandemic never had to happen because we had the cure all along. Hydroxychloroquine, zinc, azithromycin, ivermectin, vitamin C, vitamin D. All right. So we always had the cure to these things. So there's no reason for a mask mandate. There was no reason for a lockdown. There was no reason for a pandemic. This we all know. But the fact that we have that now means we're still dealing with it. All right, back to the article. Even after DeSantis moved Florida to phase three of the state reopening, which he originally said would preempt any fines and punishments attached to local rules, many mask ordinances were implemented intellectually impossible because the mask mandates are unconstitutional. All right, you can't require masks of healthy people, which is 99.97% of the population. All right. Anyway, so the court challenges should have gone nowhere. Isn't it interesting? Anybody notice that the court challenges, you know, for the election fraud, you know, are being dismissed by the judges without even looking at the evidence? Yet the court challenges of this bogus, you know, COVID crap, those are the ones going forward. This is why you can't trust the justice system, mm-hmm. because it does not serve you. It serves the government, which, of course, we knew all along, which is why judicial review needs to be overturned. But we'll talk about that again another day. Back to the article. Many jurisdictions continue to have fine ordinances on the books, even though the penalties are not being levied and cannot be collected. So in other words, if you still have a mask, in fact, the last several months, even though you have a mask mandate in various places like Pensacola, they were forbidden from actually doing anything about it. Okay. So if you complied, you complied voluntarily. And why would anybody? Right. I did for one particular business I go to, but that was my choice. You know, and even then, it was on my chin, which is the best place for a mask to be. All right, let me get back to my article here. I'm pushing the wrong buttons on my computer. Fortunately, it's still there. Then they go through a whole county list. And so that's something interesting to check. Let's get rid of that screen. Here we go. I'm going to bring up a couple more articles here. Is that the one I want? Oh, here's one. If you're interested, too, I should post this again. This is from the what are these guys here? Federation for Economic Education, the FEEO Foundation, excuse me, there it is, it's right up top. Foundation for Economic Education. And this was published by John Miltmore, let me brighten my screen a little bit, back in, let me see, where's the date on this? November 18th, 2020. So this is about a year, after the nonsense of the pandemic was going. So it said here, few issues are more contentious in modern American life than mandatory mask orders. And the debate is about to get even more heated. A newly released study in the academic journal Annals of Internal Medicine cast more doubt on policies that force healthy individuals to wear face coverings in hopes of limiting the spread of COVID-19. Remember, this is November of 2020, so that would have been a year and a half ago. 6 months ago. November 2020, what are we doing? April? Yeah, about 6 months ago. All right. Said researchers in Denmark reported on Wednesday that surgical masks did not protect the wearers against infection with the coronavirus in a large randomized clinical trial. And that's in the New York Times. Okay. So let me try that again. Researchers in Denmark reported on Wednesday that surgical masks did not protect the wearers against infection with the coronavirus in a large randomized clinical trial. Researchers in Denmark report on Wednesday that surgical, you know, there's another one there. So you got a couple of different sources. The study is perhaps the best scientific evidence to date on the efficacy of masks, or in other words, the lack thereof. To conduct the study, which ran from early April to early June, scientists at the University of Copenhagen, oh, I've been there. I love Denmark. It's great. Copenhagen's cool. All right. Recruited more than 6,000 participants who had tested negative for COVID-19 immediately prior to the experiment. Half the participants were given surgical masks and instructed to wear them outside the home. The other half were instructed not to wear a mask outside the home. Roughly 4,860 participants finished the experiment, the Times reports. The results were not encouraging. Actually, I think they were very encouraging. The researchers had hoped that masks would cut the infection rate by half among wearers. Instead, 42 people in the mask group, or 1.8%, got infected, compared with 53 in the unmasked group, or 2.1%. The difference was not statistically significant. So basically, it doesn't matter. You know, roughly the same amount of people got infected, whether they wore masks or not. What does that tell you? Okay. So DeSantis knew this. I mean, he knows the evidence. You know, he sees how all this works, right? And so it's pretty amazing to find that you know, it's taken so long to get rid of these mask mandates. And they're still in place, California,
well,
Michigan, New York. Josie, welcome back.
It tells you the masks don't work. Masks don't work. You know?
They don't work. No.
Bottom line. Yeah.
Same infection rate regardless of whether you wear one or not. Doesn't matter.
Yep.
So let's go to May 3rd. Haley Brown, Florida Politics website, says a new law. Oh, here's another one. Governor DeSantis, COVID-19 emergency is over. Yeah, well, thank God he finally said it. How long have I been saying it? What, since last July? You know, almost a year now. Anyway, so the article from Haley Brown, May 3rd, 2021, says a new law taking effect in July gives the governor the authority to usurp local orders. Let me translate that. A new law taking effect in July gives the governor the authority to overrule unconstitutional local orders. Do you like my interpretation better, Josie?
Yeah, I like your interpretation better.
But see, here's the thing. See how propaganda works? If you read this, the governor's authority to usurp local orders, those local people, they're just trying to protect you. They're trying to make laws. You know, they're trying to implement public health policy. What's wrong with the big, bad governor? He's a bad man. He's making you unsafe. He's going to kill grandma. All I have to do is change a couple of words. You know, when I said gives the governor the authority to usurp, you know, unconstitutional local orders. Now it's a completely different statement. Mm-hmm. Now the governor's defending your rights. All right. That didn't change the law. All it does is change how you think about the law. That's how propaganda works. All right. Back to the article. Governor Ron DeSantis lifted all local emergency orders Monday. Let me repeat that wonderful news. Governor Ron DeSantis lifted all local emergency orders Monday. So if you live in Florida and you had one of those stupid, bogus, unconstitutional restricting of your rights, local ordinances on healthy people, they're now gone. Quote, the fact is we are no longer in a state of emergency, DeSantis said while in St. Pete, that would be St. Petersburg, for you folks that think we're in Russia, for the signing of the executive order and a related bill. What was he doing in St. Petersburg when the capital's in Tallahassee? Now, that's interesting. He didn't sign it. He signed it in the Tampa, St. Pete area as opposed to Tallahassee. That's interesting. I'm just curious.
They had a big thing with Ingrid Mingle from Fox the other night.
Laura Ingram. The town hall meeting.
They had a lot of Republican leaders from the ones that they're against all this COVID and all this stuff. So it was very good, actually.
It was very good. Why don't we start calling this the Democrat disease? Do you suffer from the Democrat disease?
I love it.
Are you wearing a Democrat mask over your face? Have you had the Democrat vaccine? The messenger RNA shot designed to kill you? You know, it's a typical Democrats. You know, they say one thing and kill you at the same time. You know,
exactly.
It's fascinating. So the Democrat virus.
Democrat virus, yeah.
The Democrat virus is, yeah, the Democrat virus has been banned by Ron DeSantis. There we go. So, oh, here we go.
Can we call it Democrat China virus? Because the Democrats are in cahoot with China, and they're the one that brought the virus to America our country and our president.
I used to call it the Woohoo flu because I thought it was funny. Do you suffer from the Woohoo flu? The what? I haven't used it for a while. Woohoo flu. Yes, yeah. I've got the Woohoo flu. The Democrat disease. Anyway, I use my radio voice. The Democrat disease. There we go. All right. So I'm going to have my happy pills.
Sounds,
you know, I've got 2 days off. That's the problem. What's that? I'm sorry.
I said that sounds powerful now, that voice.
Yeah. Well, so here's the power voice. The Democrat disease. I'll make one of my promos. I am so behind on promos. I owe you a promo. I'm sorry. You know,
that's
with
okay.
The amount of legislative stuff and things going on, there's so much happening so fast. It's hard to keep up with all of it. Yeah. Besides, I have a day job. So if you want to, you know, if you want to help me help Josie with her theme, you know, sponsor the show. That would be a great way to get me more time so I can do more time on the show. We're running about, I'd say 10 to 15% of our potential right now. And we're still doing amazing things. but we're running about 10-15%. Once I get to be able to do this actually full time, then you're going to see things you have no idea how much we're going to bring to this show. It's going to be amazing. All right, back to the article. DeSantis is using his current executive power to terminate the local emergency orders through June. But after that, the termination is made possible by new laws that take effect July 1st. Okay, now this is the good part, all right? This is the part that's really significant. DeSantis realizes that executive orders have to come from legislation. You can't just make executive orders. He realized that when he screwed up earlier, about a year or so ago, when he made executive orders, you know, restricting people to their homes, locking down businesses, closing the beaches, none of that was legal. I said so at the time. I said this is blatantly unconstitutional. You cannot violate the rights of healthy people. You know, you can restrict people that have a known disease, and you prove it by the fact that they have the symptoms of that disease. That makes sense. And those very few people should be quarantined until they're better. I understand that, you know, but that's a due process thing. You've actually been judged through due process to have a disease that is communicable. You should be quarantined for a while. But to take healthy people and say that they can spread it anyway was just a big lie. It was always a lie. It's, you know, I heard a doctor, there's a special on the from America's Frontline Doctors, and this doctor says, do you know how many asymptomatic cases of COVID they've proven to have existed? He said, zero. There's not a single case anywhere where they've proven somebody who had no symptoms, who was perfectly healthy, transferred the COVID virus to somebody else. And it makes sense because they're perfectly healthy and they had no symptoms. How could they transfer it to somebody else? Unless they already had it. All right. Okay. So the difference is that DeSantis is actually going by what he should do, which is legislation. So he goes to the legislature and says, I want this bill. I want to be able to have this power to stop the counties and the cities from passing illegal orders. And the legislature says, yeah, great idea. Let's do that. And so they agreed. They talked. They made it out. That's the way our system's supposed to work. So rather than just making an empty order, he actually has legislation behind it. Legislation is far stronger than orders. Orders mean nothing really without the legislation to back them up, because governors, and like presidents, cannot make policy, enforce policy. The policy comes from the legislature that creates the laws that create the policy. That's how it works. All right. So that's good news. Anyway, so it says made possible by new laws that take effect July 1st in an emergency management bill, SB 2006. So if you want to look that up, that's SB 2006, passed on the last day of the legislative session, which would have been, I think, Monday, or was it Friday? Anyway, whatever it was, we're done with our legislature until next year. The most controversial parts of that law, include a vaccine passport ban and limits on local governments to enact emergency orders. We talked about that. Here's the quote from DeSantis: emergency orders, these extraordinary measures at this point are not justifiable. Okay. The article says the move makes good sense, makes good on a strategy DeSantis has been pushing, another propagandistic word, has been pushing most of the pandemic. In interviews and news conferences, he has been contrasting Florida's open businesses and schools with lockdown states. DeSantis issued stay-at-home order for non-essential workers in April of 2020. That was a huge mistake, though he has largely kept Florida open compared to other states. So that's where we stand right now. So we're in good shape. We have unmasked. We have a governor that's going to protect us from unconstitutional orders. We're doing pretty well here. Don't you wish you all lived in Florida right now? I think I have some Negro candy. What do you think? We should buy some Negro candy and have, like, Action Radio has a Negro candy break. If you don't know what I'm saying right now, go back earlier in the show. I already explained it. Sorry. I'm good. Let me play something else for you guys. And then we'll spend, we got 60 minutes left. I want to talk about Governor DeSantis's, Governor DeSantis to act on COVID-19 passport ban. This is from actually a couple of days ago, from Friday, so we'll get to that too. What else can I play? What else haven't we played for a while? Let me do my book thing. And where's it here? Don't mind me, I'm flipping through my many. I can organize this better. Ah, here we go. I'll be right back. Greg Penglis here for my book, The Complete Guide to Flight Instruction. Everyone at some point in their life wants to learn how to fly. Few try. Even fewer go on to get a license. I believe a major reason for that is how we teach people how to fly. My book is designed to help you navigate the flight training system, but it's so much more than that. It really describes an entirely new way to teach flying. So if you've never tried a lesson or got discouraged in your training and quit for any reason, this book can help you. Don't be a rote pilot who just follows procedures. Be a thinking pilot who makes great decisions, who understands all the reasons why we do what we do. You can incorporate these principles into your own flight training at any time. The Complete Guide to Flight Instruction is featured on the Action Radio with Greg Panglis Facebook page and is available from Amazon.com. All right, back to Josie. Do you have anything you want to add to anything that we've said so far before I start another article? Caught her in a bad moment again. That happens sometimes. Anybody else wants to call in and join us? 215-383-3832. We've got just about 14 minutes left, and then we'll wrap this up. Tomorrow we'll have the great election correction report. I'll be taking all the stories that are happening right now in the three big hotspots, which is Windham, New Hampshire, Maricopa County, Phoenix, Arizona, and Michigan. Antrim County, Michigan. So those are the three hotspots with the election right now. And so as goes those, so goes the nation. If we keep a fraud in the White House, if we allow the election to be stolen, then if they can steal the presidency, they can steal anything. They can steal the country. They can make us a communist dictatorship. They can do whatever they want. Okay. We can't allow that to happen. We simply can't allow it. It is unacceptable. It is untenable. It is impossible for us to live as Americans so long as Joe Biden sits in Donald Trump's chair in the White House. It's just that simple. All right. So here's an article from May 1st. So a couple of days ago, Governor DeSantis to act on COVID-19 quote passport ban. So the other side, the flip side of mask wearing is vaccines. In other words, and I did shows on this, you know, should you have to buy your constitutional rights back from the government, you know, with a vaccine in order to exercise them? Of course, the answer is no. That is a crime against the Constitution. That is a crime against this country for the government to have you take a certain action that they want you to take in order to exercise your constitutional rights of travel, of freedom of movement, of, you know, work, of anything else you want to do. So that's why those were always illegal. But they're trying to push them anyway because people don't know their rights. And that this is a lot of what we do is educating people about those rights. Governor DeSantis to act on COVID-19 passport ban. Article says the bill would give the governor power to override local orders. Well, they passed this since this took place. So think of this as what it does now rather than what it says it will do. The bill actually does give the governor power to override local orders if they're determined to be, quote, unnecessarily restrictive of individual rights or liberties. Oh, unnecessarily restrict individual rights or liberties. Think about that. The governor made a mistake when he said this, all right? The governor provide local override orders if they are determined to, quote, unnecessarily restrict individual rights or liberties, which begs the question, how can you restrict individual rights or liberties? And the answer is no. So therefore, unnecessarily restricting is an oxymoron. It's irrational. If you can't restrict individual rights or liberties, then you can't unnecessarily restrict them because that implies that there are necessary restrictions of individual rights or liberties. Since there are no necessary restrictions on individual rights or liberties because rights or liberties are absolute within the context of the right, you know, that so the idea of unnecessarily restricting them, you know, implies that there is necessary restrictions, and that's bad language. That's a stupid tactical error on the governor's part. He should have said that, or maybe this was said, oh, it's a quote. So I imagine, you know, DeSantis said that, okay? But what he should have said was, you know, to power to override local orders if they restrict individual rights or liberties. That's what he should have said. Josie, did you want to get into this? But, I thought I heard you there.
Yeah, I believe he regrets that he shut down a lot of the places, and that's not good. And,
well, I'm sure he does.
Still bad in Miami. And it's still bad in Miami, actually. Some of the restaurants are not fully open. Mm-hmm. They still have the 6 feet distance, and everybody's freaking out wearing the mask. It's stupid. It's so stupid, you know.
Well, it's fear leading to death, you know, and it's the fear that's causing the deaths, not the disease. That's the weird part. Yeah, you're very true. But we'll see what happens in Miami. Well, actually, if you can check in with any friends and family in Miami and see what happens now that these ordinances are gone, you know, are they still in place? Is the mayor of Miami saying, you know, we're going to keep them anyway. We don't care what the governor says, you know, which is going to force a showdown with the governor. We know that.
A lot, because my whole family lives in Miami, yeah.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we still have to find out about a couple of different countries, too. We got to do our tours of Costa Rica, El Salvador, Nicaragua, and Honduras, and I think that's it. Yeah, we got to learn about those countries, too, in great detail, see what we can do. All right,
Colombia.
So the article says – I'm sorry, go ahead. What was that?
No, I was just saying, yeah, we will get more reports on some of those countries.
Good. It's going to be great. Actually, we should go there, too. Wouldn't it be great? Action Radio,
Costa Rica,
direct from El Salvador. Where now?
You will like Costa Rica. It's very beautiful. Yeah.
Well, I've actually been there. You know, I've been to Honduras. I've been to Costa Rica. Yeah, I've been to Panama. We did that when I was working cruise ships briefly. I went to the Cayman Islands.
Good.
Yeah, and I've traveled on my own. I took my daughter on a Windjammer cruise through the Bahamas. You know, I flew a light airplane. Bahama Mama.
Did
yeah.
You go to Bahama?
No, I didn't. I went to the big straw market. I know that in Nassau. That was fun. It's been a while. And I actually flew with a student to the Bahamas.
Mm.
Yeah, it was exciting. It was great. We flew from Oakland to the Bahamas and back. You know, so that was a wild trip. Anyway, let me talk about the remainder of this bill. So this is the measure, SB 2006, the bill we just talked about earlier, approved by the legislature on Thursday, so that would have been last week, would also require local emergency orders to be narrowly tailored and to be extended in 7-day increments from a maximum duration of 42 days. That I'm not sure about. That may have been overridden. Currently, such orders can be issued initially for 7 days and extended indefinitely in 7-day increments. So something's changed. So we have a little inconsistency here because the governor said he can I guess that doesn't happen until July. So the current situation is that local emergency orders narrowly tailored are okay, but come July, the governor can say, you know, we'll just dump all these things.
Mm-hmm.
The bill will give the governor power to override local orders if they are determined to unnecessarily restrict individual rights or liberties, which is what I criticized earlier, because there are no necessary restrictions on individual rights or liberties. Okay. Now, there are necessary restrictions on criminal behavior. Okay. You know, in other words, you can't take advantage of a hurricane and, you know, go loot and call that, you know, commerce. You know, you don't have the right to do that. But anyway, but the idea that that free speech is limited by COVID or, you know, free travel is limited by COVID. No, it's not. You know, anyway, so let me just finish this up here. It would also prohibit businesses, schools, and government agencies from requiring people to show documentation certifying COVID-19 vaccinations or post-infection recovery before gaining entry. The concept has become known as COVID-19 passports. Now, we've been over this before, but this is really critical, okay? Because, and this comes with buying your constitutional rights back, you know, from the government in order to engage with what you're born with the ability to do anyway, all right? And this is the problem. This is why, it really starts with gun control. When they started licensing guns and giving permits for guns, forcing you to buy your constitutional Second Amendment right from the government. I said, well, if we can do it for that, we can do it for anything. Let's do it for health, right? So now they want you to buy your constitutional right back to travel, something you're born with, the ability to travel for healthy people, you know, from the government by proving you're taking a vaccine that's not even a vaccine. Okay, so this is where hypocrisy comes in. So I'll just read this again. It would also prohibit businesses, schools, and government agencies from requiring people to show documentation certifying COVID-19 vaccinations or post-infection recovery before gaining entry. So let's talk about that. Businesses, schools, and government agencies. So no business in Florida can stop you from entering or even ask you if you've had a COVID-19 shot. No school can prevent kids from going there by saying, have you had a COVID-19 shot? You know, and no government agency can prevent you from doing business, you know, with them simply because you don't have a vaccine. What that does is that ends the government prejudice against people that are, you know, natural immunity as opposed to government required, you know, genetic therapy, which is really dangerous. All right. So Democrats argue the measure would tie the hands of the cruise industry and others that have struggled to bring tourists back to Florida. That's not true. The cruise industry has unnecessarily restricted themselves by requiring COVID passports. Okay. So the idea that the Democrats say that we should require, you know, COVID passports to accommodate the cruise industry is insane. No, the cruise industry needs to dump their COVID passports. You don't have to prove you don't have any other disease to take a cruise. So that's discriminatory. Why shouldn't you prove you don't have leprosy? You know, for example, why not? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, pick a disease. Why is it the COVID? Why is it okay for the cruise industry to make you prove you don't have COVID before going on, but not make you prove you don't have, yellow fever, pick a disease, you know, prove you're mentally unstable. You know, I mean, where does this end?
The airlines, yeah. Too, you know, the airlines.
Same problem.
Are, yep, making you take a test if you're going out of the country.
Yeah, here's what gets interesting with the airlines. Well, with the cruises, the most times they come back to the place they originate from. That's a cruise. Passenger liners go from point A to point B. Cruise lines go from point A back to point A with a couple of stops in between. But take a jet airliner. Say you're flying from New York to Miami, all right? Huge flights, probably several dozen a day, all right? New York probably requires COVID passports. So you can't board the plane in New York, you know, unless you prove that you've had one of these messenger RNA, you know, multi-trillion spike protein shots, all right? But you can certainly land in Florida without one. You just go on your way. Now, here's what gets really crazy, though. You can fly out of Florida, okay, without a COVID passport because, you know, we recognize your right to travel. You don't have to buy your constitutional rights back. But can you land in New York? Without a COVID passport. Yeah. So it's not so bad flying from any place else to Florida, but if you want to fly from Florida to any place else, this could get interesting. Let's get Bianchi, who's back.
And you know, Greg, when I arrive,
hold it, Bianchi. Let me get Josie's thought first. Josie,
when I arrive in New York, they were keeping an eye on me just by texting. That was about it. And they asked me questions in the airport.
Who was keeping an eye on you?
They have like some governor office in New York, and they have tabs on my cell phone, how many days am I going to be in New York and all that. And
how'd they put a tap on your
cell
phone?
They just contacted me every day. How am I feeling? Do I have fever? Do I have questions?
Who did this?
I know.
How did they get your number?
The airline, and then you have to fill a form when you get to New York, you know, before you get out of the airport. Yeah. So they got all your information. They were texting me every day. And they knew that I was only going for 4 days, and you had to quarantine for 14 days, so they're so stupid. I was laughing. I said, yeah, right. I didn't even answer their text.
Huh. That's insane. Idiots. Mm-hmm. That's why everybody's leaving New York. A bunch of, you know, communists, basically.
Right.
Yeah.
Bianchi?
Oh, thanks, Jesse.
Yeah.
Bianchi, go ahead.
Florida shouldn't allow cruise ships to do port calls if they require you to have vaccine passport. You know, flying into some countries, they used to require you to have a yellow fever shot. And then also you would allow to have those exemptions for religious purposes that you couldn't take them. They would accept those. But Florida shouldn't allow those ships to dock, to do port calls that require vaccine passports.
No, it's a dock, but it's a depart. So you get them both ends. You can't leave Florida. You can't arrive in Florida. If you require a bogus vaccine, record. Well, passport's not even a good word. But article says here just the last little bit. Asked about the bill on Friday, DeSantis said, I think some of these local governments have overplayed their hands during the pandemic. DeSantis on April 2nd issued an executive order blocking COVID-19 passports. So that was last month, which he said would create huge privacy issues that could result in people handing over medical information a big corporation. The bill would make that permanent. DeSantis has until May 15th to act on the bill. Well, that's not the reason for blocking the COVID passport. The reason you block that, as I've said before, you don't buy your constitutional rights back. You know, it's it all comes back to Bianchi, who said the Constitution doesn't have an on and off switch, folks. It's really just that simple. And you can look at this whole pandemic in terms of that one line. So let me give you the last 30 seconds, Bianchi. What do you think? This is your chance at radio immortality, and you're wasting it. 27 seconds.
We're going to be writing a lot of laws and causing disruptions.
Who is? Oh, because of what DeSantis is doing?
The Action Network gang?
Oh, we're just we have not yet begun to fight, in the words of John Paul Jones. On that note, let's go. Back tomorrow with the Election Correction Report, 7 o'clock in the morning Central Time. This is Greg Penglis for Action Radio at blogtalkradio.com/citizenaction. Podcast ready in a few minutes. Please share our show everywhere. If you want us to give you the freedom that we can, then you have to help us out to get it there. And that's where you all come in. See you tomorrow.
God bless you.
God bless you too.